We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is Dr. Robert Harper, the founder and CEO of the HOPE Initiative. They provide access to educational and workforce opportunities to kids and individuals living in underserved communities. How are you doing, Dr. Harper?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Robert, let's talk about the HOPE Initiative for those who are unfamiliar. Can you explain the mission of what you do? Because I think it's so important.
Absolutely. Well, the HOPE Initiative is a nonprofit organization that focuses on helping students transition from middle school to high school to college, and college to careers. And so our whole focus is to work with students in low-income, underserved communities. Mm-hmm. And we try to work with them to get them on a career pathway where they are successful, productive citizens, and successfully transition into adulthood.
I love what you're doing. The last time we talked, you blew my mind because you were explaining how you're basically helping kids relearn how to learn. In other words, sometimes the cookie-cutter methods that, you know, educators have been using for decades doesn't quite sink in like it should nowadays. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So what we do is we have a career exploration software that we use. Mm-hmm. And man, this software is so awesome because it allows students to identify their strengths, their learning styles, their personality types, but it also connects them to a career cluster. There are 16 clusters, and this program helps them identify their top four clusters. And so once we get this information on these students, then we start strategically building out experiences, mm-hmm, and opportunities for these students to gain exposure to these career fields. And so, also through these assessments, these students identify how they learn best, whether they are visual learners or auditory learners, right? And so we put all of this information together, and then we set up a program for these students to understand this is how you can maximize your learning opportunities. And then we work with them on networking strategies as well.
This is so smart because it's actually maximizing technology today and getting it to the kids and showing them how, actually it's showing how to best educate the kids. It individualizes learning. Am I wrong?
That's right. So remember when we were in school and they had that, what's that table where they had all of those? EI squared and
right.
Yeah. So we came up with one that's EI squared, and it stands for education is individual, right? Mm-hmm. Chris, you don't learn the same way I learn,
right?
So we are different learners. So all of this is individual. And I always tell students now, when I was in school, I can remember being in middle school and we had spelling tests. And I always thought that the students who got finished the fastest were the smartest. Mm-hmm. But think about it, Chris. It's about who getting it right.
Correct.
How fast you finish the test.
Right. And you know what? It's so funny you said that you gave me a flashback, because that's the way I used to think too. Whoever finished their test first, they're the smartest kids in the room. But that's not true.
That is correct. And so we work with these students and to tell them, you have to learn the material on your own pace, right? Mm-hmm. And so we give them strategies on how to maximize that learning. And then we also share that information with all of their teachers. So in the event that they in a class and they're struggling, well, the teachers can refer to the students We call it an assessment profile, and then the student, then that teacher can put a plan together to help that student learn the content.
That is fantastic. How many educators really appreciate this way of helping kids learn? In other words, give me some of the feedback you've been receiving, even some of the pushback.
Absolutely. So we are working with teachers, and one of the things we call it the Hope Initiative way, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we have this method, and I kind of got this, Chris, from a football coach, because I was wondering, I was talking to this former player. He played at the University of Texas back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him, and he's an administrator now in Fort Worth ISD. And so he came to one of my workshops we did with J.P. Elder Middle School in Fort Worth. And so I was asking him about, you know, his football experience at University of Texas and all of that. I said, man, I've seen these playbooks. How in the world y'all learn all these plays?
Yeah.
He said, Doctor. Yeah. He was like, Dr. Harper, this is what the coaches do. He said, we have this thing we call it. We chalk it, talk it, walk it, and run it.
Mm.
And so after I started thinking about it, I started looking and comparing what he said to those assessments,
yeah,
those learning style assessments.
Yeah.
I made a connection. And so what I started doing from that day forward, and as I'm working and training teachers, I give them that method. I say, this is the Hope Initiative way. We chalk it, we talk it, we walk it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about this, Chris. When you chalk it, that's for your visual learners. So you're putting it on the board, and all of your students who are visual learners, they can get it. When you talk it, that's for your auditory learners.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the students who learn by listening, right?
Right.
And then you got walk it. That's for your kinesthetic, the students who learn by movement.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
if you ever, Chris, and we'll invite you to the next workshop, get a chance to see this workshop in action, you're going to see these students getting the information on a PowerPoint presentation. We're going to talk through some of the information, and then we're going to walk them through some of the information. And so once we started doing that strategy, those students started picking it up. And then we say chalk it, talk it. And then we also say chalk it, talk it, walk it, but then run it. So that's when you go over it, and you know how to repetition.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Running the play over
mm-hmm.
and over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we take these kids through a similar process, but it's just in an academic setting.
I love it. I love it. So the educators, they like this?
Oh, absolutely. Because the partnerships that we have with a few school districts,
mm-hmm.
we provide the curriculum and the lesson plans.
Oh,
so
nice.
My team, we create all of these lesson plans. And within these lesson plans, we build out these activities that includes the teachers being able to chalk it, talk it, walk it.
That is fantastic. And I wonder if nowadays, you know, in the 2020s, with kids having tablets and talking about kids growing up, with Wi-Fi and having the opportunity to learn and watch programs like Dora the Explorer, whatever it is, does that help them become engaged with the way you're bringing this information of education? I'm just wondering because, you know, back when we were little kids, we didn't have tablets and cell phones and those things.
Absolutely. So what I do, Chris, we embrace the technology.
There you go.
Right. So we don't try to fight against the students. And then most of these schools, especially after COVID, all mm-hmm. of these kids have laptops.
That's
now.
Right.
So what we do is we make sure that we have different activities and assignments that embraces the technology. So, for example, we're working with some students right now, and we're teaching them how to network.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we do is we teach them how to do an elevator speech. And so we have this framework for an elevator speech. You may have heard of it as an elevator pitch.
Yes.
Like, you know what I
yes.
mean? Like a
oh,
short,
yeah. mm-hmm.
you got a short amount of time with
Correct.
With somebody, and you got to sell yourself and then make the ask. You familiar with that, Chris?
Yes.
Absolutely. So we have a framework for the elevator speech, and it's a plug and play. And then we go over and over with these young people. And so I give an example, Chris. So what we do is we take those assessments, we identify their top three strengths, and we infuse it as part of the elevator speech. So it kind of goes like this, Chris. The student will we'll do a little role play.
Right.
And so the kid, they got their laptops, and we show them, okay, let's go to YouTube, and we want you to see like a YouTube short or something like that of some people doing or some students that's engaging in kind of like an elevator speech. So now they get a chance to see it, right? And now we put on the board this elevator speech, like the framework for it. And so the kids writing out their elevator speech. And so they're just plugging in, they're filling in the blanks with their results. So it'll kind of go like this. The kid will say something like, "Hi, my name is Robert Harper, and I'm a seventh grader at Jefferson Middle School. I'm currently looking for a job shadowing opportunity to prepare me for a career in architecture. My top three strengths is competing, confidence, and dependability. And when I go to college, I plan on majoring in architecture, and my goal is to get accepted into Texas A&M College Station." And so that's the framework. And Chris, when I tell you we have these young kids doing this in sixth grade, and the neat thing that we do, Chris,
did you say sixth grade? Hold on, I got to slow you down. I thought you were going to say something like 12th grade.
No, sir. We start with these students as early as sixth grade. So we work on self discovery. And once they learn about themselves and their strengths, then we transition into this networking piece. Yes, sir. We got some awesome kids that's doing this in the sixth grade.
This is fantastic because I think a lot of kids, especially in underserved communities, their challenge is confidence that they may be able to fit in a workplace environment, whether it's a corporate structure or whether it's just someplace that's not their typical neighborhood environment. You follow what I'm saying? So there's this confidence factor. And if you go over these things, like you said, that gives them the courage to go out there and be bold enough to attempt to get a job, or be bold enough to say, you know, I can handle this education. I have a plan, because a lot of kids don't even think about a plan.
That's right. And so that's what we're doing. We're being very intentional and creating like a career pathway for these students. And we always tell them exposure leads to expansion. So a lot of these kids, Chris, in the neighborhoods that we're working in, they very seldom leave within a 5-mile radius of their neighborhood, right? And so now it's for us to bring in these professionals in their space and start getting these kids familiar with it. I give you an example. We did a workshop a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about etiquette, like when you're going, let's say at a 5-star restaurant, right? Fine dining.
Right.
And they have the, you know, the plated, you know, the table, your, I'm sorry, the plates on the tables.
Sure.
And your forks
silverware.
And, right. And your silverware, right? So I asked the kids, I said, raise your hand if you know there are different types of forks that you eat with. And so a kid raised his hand and I acknowledged him. I said, okay, tell me about the different types of forks. Well, I'm expecting him to say, you know, you got a salad fork or a dinner fork, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's what the kid said, Chris.
Plastic.
Plastic. That's exactly what
plastic.
He said. You know, you don't been, sound like you don't
metal.
Been somebody,
you know? Well, you know, I got kids.
Okay. Yeah. That's exactly what he said, a plastic. And so there was another student that started breaking it down like, hey, yeah, there's a dental part, a salad part. And so it's that kind of stuff that we have to
exactly
get them prepared. And
exactly.
That increases their confidence.
And confidence is going to show not just, you know, in their grades. It's going to show in their career paths and then the opportunity to excel at what they do. Because sometimes if you grow up and you don't think you have a chance, you don't have the courage to take a try. You don't have the courage to go for it, so to speak. You have a fear of failure, when failure is just an opportunity to not make that mistake again. Am I wrong?
You're absolutely correct. And so we tell them we don't, if we take a L, it's not a loss.
That's right.
It's a learning. You know,
it's
you
an opportunity
learn from that situation.
That's right.
Absolutely. And so that's what we work with those kids on is building their confidence, showing them how to shake somebody's hand and look in their eyes.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
We even got exercises where these kids are creating their own business cards.
Oh, good.
So if one of my students that I'm working with and they meet you, Chris, they're going to give you their elevator speech, and then they're going to ask you, hey, I would love to see how you can help me with my, get me, you know, some exposure in this career field. Do you have a business card? Here's my business card. Think about if a sixth grader approached you with that. How would you respond to that student?
I would be impressed, and I would have the biggest grin on my face because I would think that kid is going places.
Absolutely. Even Chris, I don't know if I shared this with you before, but we did this last year. We started working with these kids, and around Easter time, one of the students was asked to get up at church and tell a little bit about themselves.
No, right? I haven't heard this story. Go right ahead.
You haven't heard? Okay.
No,
so,
please do.
We provided these kids with their elevator speech. Well, one of the students came back to school like after Easter and said, told the teacher, like, hey, I got something I want to share with you. And so, share with the class. And so the teacher said, well, go ahead. And the kid told him, you know, it was at church on Sunday, and they asked some of the young people to come up and mm-hmm. kind of introduce themselves and talk about, you know, themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid did his elevator speech.
Hmm.
And you had high school kids in there. And once he did his elevator speech, everybody was so impressed. Everybody after church, the parishioners went to him and said, baby, what is it that we can do to help you to get, you know, whatever you need so you can get into the career field that you're most interested in? And that was just all from that elevator speech. So
that's
those
fantastic.
Church members were floored how well he delivered that speech and the content of his speech, because it sounded like he conveyed with conviction.
Right.
Right. So he made them feel like, look, this is what I want to do. And they opened up their arms to help him, whatever it is that he wanted to do. So we thought that was so awesome. And he had the confidence to deliver that in the church setting because we've been working with that young man through, you know, the spring semester.
We're talking with Dr. Robert Harper, the founder and CEO of the HOPE Initiative. And I love the curriculum. I love the fact that you're getting it into so many different schools. How advanced are you right now? Because you mentioned some of the age ranges. And I know, you know, how many years have you been doing this? And I know it's something that a lot of schools may be interested in, but not every school has it yet.
Absolutely. So, Chris, I started out in education back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started out in higher education, and I was working with, you know, incoming freshmen. And I saw that it was a gap with students who were coming to college prepared. And so I started implementing these programs like first year experience, new student orientation. Just working, and I also did advising and creating their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go back to the confidence piece. Chris, I had relationships with professors on campus, and you know who the hard professors and the easy professors,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I would put these kids in these professors who would work with them in that first semester. And when I tell you, when those kids made like a 3.0, their confidence shot up, and they started doing good in college. And so I said, you know what? I want to be able to take this and do it as early as middle school. So I started doing this type of work back in 2017,
mm-hmm.
Working with these young people. And it's just been a great opportunity for me. It actually been a blessing. I don't even call it a career. I call it's a calling for me, Chris. And so we've been helping these young people pretty much all over the country with these types of programming. And so, yeah, man, we've been doing this, I'll say, since 2017. But the HOPE Initiative actually was founded in 2019. And so I've been doing this on my own ever since.
It's fantastic. And again, it's a labor of love because what you're doing impacts so many lives. And I'm sure there's so many stories that have been told along the way of success. But I know there had to be a couple of times where you said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this done because a lot of people don't understand this. Was it a time or did the pandemic slow you down? Because a lot of people have told me stories, you know, on this show about how they had to make the pivot and how the pandemic actually allowed them to re-educate themselves or allowed them to say, you know what, I got to dig a little deeper.
Yes, sir. So my situation is the opposite. I tell the students now when I talk to them, I say I turned the pandemic to a bandemic, like band getting bands. You know some of the young kids, that's some of the language they use, right? So when I say a bandemic, Chris, when I tell you my program was online, and so a lot of the schools and these youth serving organizations, when they had to go online, they didn't have any programming. So guess who they called?
Who?
The Hope Initiative.
there you go.
So I was positioned, and the Hope Initiative had a very successful year in 2020. And so we just been rolling ever since. Now, I have had some challenges getting into schools because of them not totally understanding, and because it's different, Chris, you know what I mean? Like, once we start working with these students then start advocating for themselves. They know their learning styles. I give an example. There was a student who he was high kinesthetic, which means he learned best by movement.
Okay.
So he was in a math class, and the teacher got into a situation in the class where the teacher said he wasn't paying attention and wasn't doing his work. Well, the kid was like, well, the reason why I'm not doing this because your class is not teaching to my learning style. And he said, I'm a high kinesthetic learner, and you're just talking, you know, and I'm low auditory.
Wow.
So I'm not really connecting with the lesson.
He's, you know, telling the truth, but it's amazing he can say that.
Absolutely. And so some teachers, you know, get they get a little
offended
with students you know, advocating for themselves.
Right.
Yes, sir. So that's been a few of the challenges that we had, especially when we're working with these students, and it's just really the students understanding how they learn best. And now they are demanding that from the teachers. Like, look,
sure,
I want to do good in this class.
Right.
Can you adjust your teaching style? And some people been teaching the same way for so long, and it just becomes a little challenge.
You know what? I guess maybe younger educators, ones who have graduated from college recently, they might be more, you know, flexible. And I only bring this up because I can imagine how maybe some old school teachers expect the kids to just sit there and learn and not talk back and then only answer the questions that they bring up. And you're actually invoking a different style that matches the skill set or the levels or the way the kids are. And I just think that it's more of a challenge for some educators, and maybe they have to be a little bit younger.
Absolutely, and adjust to these students.
Right, or maybe it's just having an open mind. Like, is it having to open a mind?
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
And so in this, Chris, we're living in 2023 and things are changing. And
exactly.
You alluded to it earlier. We didn't grow up like these kids.
Right.
Like, even the parenting is different now, right?
It really is.
And so we have to adjust, and it is, right? But these kids, they have the ability to learn. We just have to tap into how they learn best. And then maximize that, right?
Yeah, and I think you're right, because I think your
kids a plan.
Yeah, give them a plan. I think you're exactly right, because nowadays kids have so much access to information, you know, with the internet and everything else. So they're very smart. They may not know every single thing, may not have the wisdom to do what to do with the knowledge, but they have access to a lot of knowledge. So you actually have to work a little bit if you're an educator trying to help them do the right thing with the information that they've got. Am I saying that correctly?
I say, yes, you are correct. We have to tap into these kids and understand them. And they have a lot of exposure to technology, and they get information instantly. You and I used to have to go to the library to get stuff, right?
Encyclopedias. And they got Google.
Absolutely. They got Google.
And see, that's the example. That's the best example of comparing 20th century versus the 21st century. Whereas we had to go to the library, open up some books, especially the encyclopedias, and try to find the information. And now they just, you know, word search on Google.
That's it. That's it. And so what I tell the students is a lot of information on the internet is some good information and it's some bad information.
That's right.
Right?
That's
but
right.
You have to understand and learn how to identify the good information. And so there are some tips and tricks that I share with those students too. I was like, look, Wikipedia is, you can start at Wikipedia, mm-hmm. but anybody can put a Wikipedia page together, right? So
right.
You want to find credible sources, and that's kind of what I help them with, identify how to locate those credible sources.
I love what you're doing. And again, I want to know the challenge again of trying to get your programs into certain schools or certain learning facilities and what people can do to help you.
So we have started to get creative, Chris, on the way that we are approaching this. Oftentimes, to get into a school, there's a lot of red tape. One of the reasons why we like working at middle school, because there's a lot of flexibility in creating like a class. Like that's our goal, is to have the our curriculum as a class that's offered to students.
Mm-hmm.
So now they are getting this information every day. And so there's a lot of red tape we have to go through to get this stuff approved, you know, to make it an actual class
mm-hmm.
At a school. And so those are some of the challenges that we're working through now. If there are any educators out there that's interested in any administrators, we would love to sit down and have some conversations with you to show you how we could help increase your students' academic performance. We can help decrease the behavior incidents
right.
on campus.
That's the number one
thing. And we can help also, absolutely, yes, sir. And we can also help with community engagement with these students, because we do a lot of, we bring the community in, business mm-hmm. leaders, community leaders, and we also do community service projects that's part of our curriculum as well. So we would love for to have conversations with the decision makers at these schools,
mm-hmm.
and that way we can show them the impact that we're having. Because we're just here to help, Chris. That's all, man. We just want to help these young people. And any way we can do that, you know, we are willing to work with anybody.
Sure.
Because it's needed.
Exactly. It's needed. In fact, this is a way to reach kids today, not just because they're in underserved communities, but reach them where they're at. In other words, you can't say, okay, let's go do some things and add some books to some public libraries. That's a nice thing to do, but that's not where they're at. They're, like you said, are not the same kids that grew up in the 1990s or the 1980s. These are different kids. And I also like the fact that you are a nonprofit, so there's some people who may be listening that might be able to partner with you. Can you give them some information on how they can find out more about the HOPE Initiative and what it might take to be a partner?
Absolutely. So the best place we would say is first start at our website. And the website is the-hope-initiative.org. We have some information on our website. We have impact reports there.
Mm-hmm.
You can see some of the other work that we're doing with former professional athletes, NFL players, NBA players. We're doing a lot of work with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a lot of work with the police departments, Dallas Police Department, Fort Worth Police Department. We've done some things with Arlington Police Department in the past. So we're doing a lot of work and, you know, bridging some gaps, Chris. And then we're also helping these students transition into adulthood. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about, Chris, is creating and developing these young people to be productive citizens where they live, work, and learn.
Dr. Robert Harper, thank you again for joining us. We will keep in touch with you along the way because I think what you're doing is so important and it affects so many lives. And I'm sure you can leave us with one great story of a kid that's done something great based upon the work that you've done with the Hope Initiative. Can you give us one last story to walk away with?
Absolutely. So we had a workshop the other day, and a kid, his name was Maverick. Mm-hmm. And so and then we do we have some Dallas Mavericks giveaways and stuff like that. Right.
OK.
And so this kid, so I'm crazy now. I have fun in these things. We call it edutaining. So we have a lot of fun. So I made him stand up in his chair because he was a short kid. Right. Mm-hmm. Middle school kid. And he said, Maverick. He said, I want one of those Mavericks hats. I said, why you like the Mavericks so much, man? He said, well, my name is Maverick, and my parents, that was their favorite basketball team.
Is that
and
right?
They named me after the Dallas Mavericks. So I thought that was cool. And then there was another kid. He took the assessment, and his strength was his number one strength was competing. So we do a little fun game on Kahoots at the end of the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the hat. And again, he was a Mavericks fan as well. He said his strength helped him, be the best one to win that hat. And so he contributed his skill set to his number one strength, which was competing, and it allowed him to win the Mavericks hat. So he was excited about that, man. And so I think we got two more new Mavericks fans for y'all, Chris.
That's exciting. Hey, Dr. Robert Harper, appreciate you joining us again, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Be blessed.
And what a surprise. Joining us right now from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, my buddy Danny Noah. How you doing, Danny?
Chris, I'm doing fantastic on this day.
It must be special if you were to surprise me on this show, because something's coming up on the 5th, right? October the 5th, that everybody needs to know about. We love the Fellowship of Christian Athletes because you do such a fantastic job, especially with the kids. Tell us about the big event on the 5th.
So, Chris, coming up on the 5th, we have our night with NFL legends.
Yes.
We're at the Tower Club on that evening. And it's an opportunity for, one, those NFL fans to come and hear some conversation with people like Tim Brown, Bob Lilly, and a few others. A few other former Cowboys are supposed to be in attendance that aren't on the program, but I heard they're coming. But it's really an opportunity for us to use this platform to tell and introduce folks to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Lane, obviously, helped start our ministry here. And so it's going to be a great event for people to hear from coaches who've been impacted, students who've been impacted. And then, of course, Chris, our friend Fran Harris will be our MC.
She's amazing.
For the event. State champion, national champion, world champion, all three. I don't know how many people can say that, but Fran will be our MC. And it'll be a great time, some Q&A. And as I said, we'll get to tell folks and introduce them to Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
You mentioned Fran being such a great champion. Let me go ahead and give her props. She is champion of South Oak Cliff, state champion. She is a national champion, University of Texas. And again, she was a champion with the WNBA. And she also did a cooking show on one of the food networks, right?
She does a little everything. She's on Shark Tank too, Chris.
That's right. She is on Shark Tank. So it's going to be a great occasion. Again, it's an opportunity. It's a major fundraiser for you guys, and there's a lot of interesting auction items as well. I want to promote this because you guys do such great work, and you can't do it by yourself, and that's why it's important for people to know how they can be involved.
Yes, and again, the opportunity, Chris, for us to just have a whole new audience, people that have never heard of Fellowship of Christian Athletes who have no idea what we're doing. A lot of times we say we're the best kept secret that's mm-hmm. making a huge impact. And so we just want to continue to tell the story of how we're using sports to do a great thing.
Danny, you do a lot of talk and you did a lot of ventures on all the different campuses around Dallas County. Can you tell people who've heard of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, give them the condensed version of what you guys actually do, because there's so many kids that I've talked to over the years. They say that if it wasn't for FCA, they probably would be in trouble. They wouldn't have kept the faith of being involved in athletics as well.
Yeah. Well, Chris, we are unapologetically using our platform to present the gospel. As you've seen the platform of sports with DeMar Hamlin and just a lot of other mm-hmm. professional athletes, in this day and age, you can't just be an athlete. You can't just be a coach and try to rely upon your own strength. And so we utilize these platforms to present our faith and just empower coaches to use their influence and in turn to impact student athletes. You know, we're all over the Metroplex. I focus specifically South Dallas County, but we are a national, international ministry, and just using that vehicle of sports to do a great thing.
Well, we appreciate you dropping by again October 5th, the Tower Club, FCA, and enjoy the entertainment. I'd be there if I could. You know me.
I know, Chris, you've always been faithful to help us out. And so thanks again just for this platform to share about FCA.
Thank you, Danny.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And joining us right now is Ms. Tasca Medlock-Lee, bringing awareness to Healthy Aging Month and the Build a Better You Tour. Actually, I guess we're talking about aging and aging well, mind, body, and spirit. Tasca, how you doing? And tell me why the highlight is about aging or adults who are getting a little bit older.
Well, you know what? I am doing wonderful. And as always, thank you so much for having me on your show. And I always love coming and talking to the audience here just about information that we could use to make us better. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of years ago, I came across some information from our government on healthy aging, and then learned that September is actually National Healthy Aging Month. And
so we just went past it. So it's still right on time, because even though today's October the 1st, people are still aware and they might have been wondering what's been going on this past month.
And that's exactly. And so, but what it is to bring awareness so that every single month throughout the year that people can take awareness and observing what it means to age well. And so that's why I really wanted to talk to you about today in terms of what does that look like in terms of mind, body, and spirit, and how can we encourage adults who are moving from 50 plus, you know, to whatever, in terms of how do we transition, and what do we begin to think about as we become aging? I think of a commercial that I see sometimes where the guy is trying to tell people not to turn into their parents.
Right, you know that is too funny. I've seen that commercial.
About, right?
Yeah, exactly. It is too funny. It's an insurance company, and I love the commercial because it's like it's telling on people.
It's telling people, like, what does it mean to slide into your DMs, right? Okay,
uh-huh.
So it sounds like it's fun to me. But yeah, so I wanted to take some opportunity, some time for you and I to have this conversation, because you have been what I would call an ambassador or a poster child, you know, in terms of how do we want to age, you know, from a physical perspective, from a mental health and emotional health perspective, from spirit, you know, mm-hmm. to financial, you know, what do you want your latter years to look like?
Well, first thing, let me say, God, thank you for the props. I appreciate you saying that. My succinct answer to people who always say, man, you look the same as you did years ago. What's the deal? I always say my mom and daddy had good genes, and my job is to take care of them. And that's what I do. And I also try to tail on top of things.
But that's what happens. We fail on our job.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine this. Imagine Jenga. Okay, the Jenga blocks.
Yeah, you're pulling the blocks out and
you're pulling the
tall
blocks
stack.
Out, but the objective of the Jenga block is to pull blocks out, but you keep the block in place, that it does not tumble over.
Correct.
And throughout life, different things happen. High blood pressure, or mm-hmm. a pill here and there, or you know, I'm on the cusp of, you know, I'm pre-diabetic. I'm on the cusp of this. And so those are blocks that's coming out of our bodies. And one day those genes, which keeps us standing, will tumble. The genes will no longer be the thing that's keeping us standing. It will be our lifestyle that will keep us standing strong and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I wanted to, you know, I want us to have a conversation about that. What does a healthy lifestyle look like? Everybody thinks, oh, that means you're going plant-based, you know, oh, you don't drink or you don't, you know. So, but for you, let's begin to do some introspection in terms of how do I want to live at 70? How do I want to feel at 70?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you want to try, this was so interesting. You mentioned that one commercial about how we're turning into our parents. And mm-hmm. I always see on the different newscasts, they got these commercials about all these different vitamins or things you can take as you get older. And I kind of laugh a little bit because it's older people, but they're doing things in a lively way. And it goes back to what I always feel right. is you're only an age is just a number. You're as young as you feel. And if you do things and stay active, that's how you quote unquote defy the logic of your actual age. If you're into your 70s a bit, there are people who are coaches or referees or people who are doing things in their 70s, like, wow, they're in their 70s, or entertainers, they're in their 70s and they're playing in Las Vegas, and like, wait a minute, or they're doing concert tours. The Rolling Stones just never die, it seems. You know what I mean? They're still around. Keith Richards and Mick Jagger still around. And I'm like, how do you do that? Well, it's all about how you perceive how you are.
That's right. And so for myself, I mean, I am preaching to the choir. I'm like on the front row, you know, in the actual choir robe. Okay. It's me that I'm talking to, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to raise awareness on the physical and mental and emotional and spiritual space in terms of older adults, it's kind of reminding us that when we age, that is going to happen. If the Lord, you know, says the same every year, we're going to get older. And so our minds and our bodies change. And so I think the first point is to understand that, you know, because sometimes we wake up and be like, okay, where did this little whisker come from on my chin? Mm-hmm. Right. As a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're That's thinking to yourself, then you got to figure out. Okay,
or if you're a guy, the whiskers on your chin have turned gray.
Right. And it's like, okay, then you really do have to come into a mind paradigm shift to say, okay, I want to age. I want to get, you know, age in terms of number, but I want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. And so, you know, to prevent any of those common age-related health problems. So we could take a proactive approach by adopting some healthy habits and behaviors now. And I have to give you the props because I'm telling you, it was your social media journey that you shared with us that really got me on the road of thinking about behaviors and creating healthy habits and understanding how to manage, you know, even health conditions that you may find yourself, mm-hmm. you know, in. I found myself having during the pandemic, we all had some pandemic weight.
Oh, yeah. Because people were working at home and you couldn't get outside as much as you used to the whole 9 yards. You weren't busy. Yeah. You weren't as busy.
And so I saw that. I saw pandemic weight. And with pandemic weight, being an African-American woman, Chris, it was like, you know, there are certain conditions that comes on in lifestyle with African-Americans that other cultures may or may not have to contend with. And I was looking at something on Good Morning America that was talking about, you know, heart disease and mm-hmm. diabetes and some of those interesting things that come on. But what I realized, particularly in the African-American community, is that most of it are lifestyle. Those are lifestyle.
That's right. Those are choices that you make, or you may not realize that they may catch up with you down the road.
They caught up with me during the pandemic. And so, and looking at how you challenged your followers on social media and looking at Sonia Azad and some others in terms of how people are living out loud in terms of, here's my commitment to healthy habits and healthy behaviors. It's just inspirational. And so I wanted us to take a look at that with the listeners. And somebody out there is thinking about, you know, okay, you're loving that couch more than you are just going around the block to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some choices And there's some habits that we have to break, choices that we have to make, right?
Yeah, we're talking to Tosca Medlock Lee. And again, this past month of September was Healthy Aging Month. And I know that the Build a Better You tour came to Dallas Fort Worth. Was it at Concord? And what did you learn from some of them there? And we'll talk about, you know, some tips that people can do along the way. But I want to know what you found out when the Build a Better You tour came to Concord.
That Build a Better You tour was brought to you by the United Methodist Strengthening the Black Church for the 21st Century in partnership with Concord. Mm-hmm. And hold on one second, Chris, because I'm going to close the store. I know we're rolling. You have to edit this out. It was really loud. But one of the things that the Build a Better You tour did in partnership with Concord Church, it is a process where United Healthcare teamed up with the United Methodist Strengthening the Black Church and said, we want to go to cities all across the country, and we want to aim and focus on the African-American community in the faith community, in the faith space. And we really simply want people to bring education to people on how they can build a better you. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? So that means we had education on food matters. We talked about how emotional and mental health matters. And then finally, we talked about how exercise matters, movement matters.
Yes.
And so that was the components of the tour that we're now taking to various cities, Birmingham, Alabama, Houston, Texas, Atlanta, and others. And so this idea of having some healthy habits and demonstrations was what we did at Concord. So not only did we talk about it, but we had someone that was teaching us movement, and we had someone there that was an expert on food and dietary that was talking about how to cook healthier, and the same thing as it relates to mental and emotional health and wellness.
I love the way they broke that down, and in particular, I'm sure there's quite a few seniors that were there, but you mentioned, you know, sometimes we're a product of what we do or what we eat. Especially if grandma know how to cook and she put a foot off in it. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't the healthiest food you can eat. It may be the best tasting food you can eat. But I guess the people who broke this down were explaining a healthier way to make the better choices. And you don't have to deny yourself all of the food that you love growing up.
So, Chris, this is what we learned as it relates to eating and drinking healthy, is that dietary needs will need to change as you age, particularly those where we have those culturally rich foods, right?
That's the best way to put it, rich, rich.
You know, so we are going to have to primarily have a healthy eating plan that includes nutritious foods that's low in cholesterol and low in fat, and that's void of artificial ingredients. You know, we're going to have to drink plenty of water and, you know, staying hydrated. And we're going to have to really take a look at that, that plate that we all looked at, you know, from the federal government, the FDA, that said, hey, look, eat nutrition dense foods like fruits and vegetables, grains and lean meats and, you know, little or no dairy. Low dairy, fat dairy products. And so we are going to have to change how we eat as we age, if we intend to age well. And so food matters. It absolutely matters in many communities. There are some communities that are in food deserts, you know, so we want to be able to keep that in mind, that we want to have more of our fruits and vegetables and grains than you want to have of the other types of foods that we sometimes grew up on.
You also mentioned the beverages, and water is so important. Now, people think that, you know, water is not that big of a deal. It really is. And if you can replace sodas with water, or at least cut back on the sodas and have more water, and don't be tricked by saying, okay, I'm eating or drinking healthy because I'm drinking orange juice. If you look on the orange juice, when you buy it at the grocery store, try to get the orange juice that says not from concentrate, because if it's concentrated, that means you're eating a bunch of sugar. I mean, you're drinking sugar, and that goes for any kind of fruit juice, even if it's cranberry juice or grape juice. If it says concentrate on it, that means you're just drinking sugar, and that's not helping you at all.
And that's one thing that we learned and that we will be teaching along the way on this tour. And that is how to read and interpret labels.
Yes. That's part of the cheat code.
That's a part of the cheat code. And then the other thing that we've learned is how to grocery shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The things that you want to tend to purchase and put in your basket are on the periphery of the grocery store. So when you look at a square, you want to stay outside the square. You don't want to go in the aisles. In the aisles, you have cookies. And in the aisles, you have potato chips. And in the aisles, you have all the processed stuff. That's what's in the aisles. On the outer aisles of the grocery store is where you have your fruits.
That's
your
right. Vegetables. The vegetables and the meats.
Yeah.
All
and
on the edges.
Meats, your lean meats. And mm-hmm. then your, you know, so that's where you want to, you know, hang out at. You know, you don't want to go up. Hey, I'm one of the ones that will take a grocery cart. And I love the grocery store. I can go mm-hmm. up and down each aisle. And by the time I come out of there, I just needed to go get me a bunches of some spinach. And then I will leave there with chips and everything else. But it's just choices.
Yeah.
And it's making those changes. And the other part is moderations, you know? So mm-hmm. at some point, hey, it's at the end of the month. I think I, you know, want to go get me a really good turkey burger. Then I go and do that. So you don't want to deny yourself of things. You want to be more conscious of the right things. And the right nutritious foods versus being consistently doing the wrong thing.
Exactly. Part of the cheat code also, you mentioned do not deny yourself certain things. What you do is it's moderation. And you got to say, okay, if I'm going to eat wrong. In other words, let's say it's a barbecue holiday or you're going over mm-hmm. somebody's house, they're having a cookout or a barbecue. You know you want to have all of that. Well, mm-hmm. you can have most of that. But at the same right. time, once you get home, your very next meal can't be more of the same. It can't be.
Do not bring the Tupperware dish.
No. You can't pack.
You go to the barbecue. Just go and get small portions.
Right.
Eat what you're going to eat. Taste what you're going to eat. Don't get start wrapping food up to take it home.
That's right. And by the way, it's really tricky because sometimes, you know, especially those who cook, they want you to try their food and they feel offended if you don't eat your food, if you don't clean your plate. Get a smaller portion and then you mm-hmm. ate and you clean the plate. You follow what I'm going with this? There's little cheat codes that you can do to eat healthier and you don't have to give up every single thing. But also you got to right. be aware of your food groups. You got to know what's what. You got to know what's a fat. You were talking about reading labels. You got to know what.
Yep.
Just go Google it up. Find out what are the foods that are fats? What are the foods that are proteins? What are the foods that are carbs? Fats don't make you fat. Fats can actually curb your hunger. It's carbs that are like nicotine. Carbs right. are like breads and chips and cookies and desserts. You can't have a bunch of carbs. You can have some carbs, but you can't have a bunch of them because that's what actually sticks to your gut. It's all about right. healthy gut health. And gut health is something you can Google up as well. These are things that you can do on your own, and you don't have to, quote unquote, give up certain things or completely change your lifestyle because part of the cheat code is you've got to evolve into it. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to go cold turkey because guess what? You're going to start craving those French fries because you hadn't had any in four mm-hmm. months. What you got to do is just have a couple here and there. You just got to just not have as much of the bad foods that you really, really used to take for granted and snack on all the time. Your snacks right. got to be healthy snacks like, you know, fruit, grapes,
yep.
oranges, apples, things like that.
Yeah. That's one of the things that, I mean, you know, we talked about, you know, of course, the nutrition and food matters. But the other thing that matters is exercise.
And that's right.
Moving your body, man, we mm-hmm. have to move more and sit less. And we want to age well. We have to move more and sit less. We have to stay active, you know, and believe it or not, staying active can manage sometimes chronic diseases.
It
improves your stamina. It, mm-hmm. you know, it reduces the risk of falling and, you know, and believe it or not, it could aim to improve brain health. So when we are moving more, I mean, so, you know, they recommend that you do moderate physical exercise like walking.
Right.
But I will say this. My trainer says that strengthening activities, building more muscle
mm-hmm.
is very, very, very critical as we age and doing that at least.
If you actually build muscle, you will lose weight. You really, yeah. you will. Muscle is heavier than fat, but at the same time, that's good weight. And you'll actually lose weight because muscle burns calories. Believe it or not, when you build up muscle, you burn calories. So it's the little things. We're not telling everybody to run to the gym every single day. Right. But you just have to have a few habits. And this is what's so hard for people to do. It's hard for people to do habits. So I always start with the simple basics. When you wake up every morning, I think the first thing people do is brush their teeth. If you can brush your teeth every day, you can do certain things that are habit forming, such as eating right or exercising correctly. And when I say correctly, I'm just talking about doing a few things here and there. It's not like, okay, I got to have this program that you know you're going to fall off of. Just do the simple things and create habits. Habits are hard to do.
Three things that I do every day. So like, what are the three? So the three things that I do every day when I wake up in the morning, number one, I stand up and I sit down in a chair 15 times. And I do that three sets of that. Just the regular chair. I stand up and I sit down one, and I stand up and I sit down two. I do that 15 times. And that's the first thing I do. The next thing I do is go lay back in my bed. And I lay back in my bed and I do crunches.
Oh, look at you.
Okay.
That's
I lay
smart.
Back down and I do my crunches on my bed. And I do about three sets of 12 of that. And then I turn over in my bed and I do my sit-ups, the girl type of sit-ups, but I do my sit-ups because what I'm doing is that I'm strengthening my arms and I'm being able to pull up my own body weight and that sort of thing. That's like, and then that's, then I go take my shower, wash my face, brush my, those, that's what I do. Then I'll have a cup of coffee or what have you. But those are the three things. So
you know,
Chris, what are the three things that you do every day?
Well, before I give you mine, let me tell you what you did that was so great. A lot of people feel like if they're going to do some kind of exercise, they have to have a mat on the floor. No, you don't. You can do it in your bed, just like you said. It's not perfect, but you're actually doing something. And then guess what? Down the road, you might get a mat that you lay on the floor or whatever it takes.
Because
to...
I want to be able to get off the floor. So I said there I had you to go. Start somewhere, right?
There you go. I love it. The three things that I do every day without question is I start my morning with a meal. And I didn't always do that. Breakfast is actually the most important meal you should not skip. And the reason why is it's good for your gut health and it starts your system up, your digestive system. And what I try to do in the mornings is have a meal that's high on protein. The highest form of protein that you can get for a breakfast is eggs. Eggs actually are good for you. And you say, but they're high on cholesterol. Do your homework, Google it up, you'll find that's good cholesterol. Now, if you're following the career of the bodybuilders and The Rock and people like that, they will crack a raw egg. And I'm like, I wish I would. I do not love eggs like that. I just cannot go there. In fact, I'm not a big fan of eggs. I just, the only kind of eggs I will eat are scrambled eggs. And I'm not going to have just scrambled eggs. I will load them up with salsa and cheese. And I mean, I will have a great egg breakfast. And scrambled eggs, and they're fluffy, and they got all kinds of stuff in them.
I put spinach in my scrambled
there
eggs.
There you go.
I put salsa in my scrambled eggs. I chop up some red onions.
And guess what? Know, all that's good for you.
And I put some mushrooms.
Yeah.
I saute some mushrooms in my scrambled eggs. And sometimes I'll do ground turkey, you know, and just have a scrambler. But sometimes I just have a veggie scrambler.
Sure. But it's important to have a high protein breakfast, and that actually starts you. It curbs your appetite to start the day, but you actually have something on your stomach, and it starts your digestive system, and that allows you to go through the day and actually do things and get things done. That's part of the cheat code that I do. I mean, it's guaranteed. That's, and if I'm not able to do that, I go get me a smoothie. I get me a protein smoothie, and I'm making sure that my first meal of the day is always a breakfast kind of a meal. And it doesn't have to be a breakfast type food, but all kinds of meats are protein. Bacon is meat. Ham is meat. Even if you got ground beef, that is meat. Chicken is meat. Turkey is meat. And it's all protein. So I'm always looking to have more protein than carbs in my meals. And I'm always aware of that. So those are the little things I do. But I'm telling you, I really enjoy this conversation, Tosca, because you got to highlight what it means to age well, because people are getting older and older. And believe it or not, people are living longer than their parents.
Well, the CNN study that we, this is one of the reasons that, we touted even in the press release, is that CNN did like an independent study and learned that people are aging, living longer, but we will live in poor health. So we're going to live longer, but the prediction is that we'll be in poor health. And so that's what the impetus was when we came out this year, is that, you know, we want people to live longer and be in great health. And so if we could just look at those three prongs, if we could look at those three prongs and say, okay, so we're going to have food matters and exercise matters. And then our mental and emotional health matters. I mean, if we're going to age, live longer, we want to be able to age well. And so, and that's the truth. We are living longer. Mm-hmm. And there are so many other ways that, that we can ensure that we have a healthy and well-aged body, a well-aged mind, and a well-aged spirit.
And we're going to talk more about this the next time we have you on. It's always a pleasure having you, Tosca. Tosca Medlock talking about aging well, mind, body, and spirit. Thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.